James. Dr. James is an epidemiologist at Emory School of Medicine. Welcome. He's going to speak on chlamydia and gonorrhea.
Thank you very much. I'm Adelva James, and my title of my presentation is Chlamydia and Gonococcal Infections Among College Freshmen, and what are the implications for screening among your, high school students? I'm supposed to present today that I have no relationships or to disclose. Just want to give a little background of this study. The Infertility Prevention Project, which is known as IPP, launched a chlamydia awareness campaign at historically black colleges and universities last year, fall, in North Carolina. The health department had developed a relationship because several years ago, there were a number of HIV outbreaks on those campuses. So the college representatives met together and they discussed the various logistics, screening, reporting of cases, and treatment. To give you a rationale for this study, in North Carolina, North Carolina introduced abstinence-only education programs in 1996. So they cannot discuss, teachers can't discuss contraception, and everything has to be focused on abstinence until marriage. However, when you look at the stats, between 60 to 70% of high school seniors have had sexual intercourse, and annually over 20,000 teenage girls become pregnant. Earlier this year, the state legislators tried to introduce a bill this year to allow school boards to add topics such as contraception to sex education programs, and that wasn't passed. So in North Carolina, we cannot do routine STD screening at high schools, among high school students, and that's very unfortunate. So we have no idea what the prevalence is, or the positivity, chlamydia positivity among high school students. In 2007, the chlamydia rates in North Carolina was 345 per 100,000 population. And also in North Carolina, African Americans are about 7.6 times more likely to have chlamydia than whites. And as you heard earlier this year, that one in four teenagers have an STD. So we looked at six colleges, and six colleges participated in the chlamydia awareness campaign. Totally, there was a student enrollment of 47,000. 85% of the students were in in-state residents. There were about 7,600 freshmen, and 81% of these freshmen were in-state residents. Now, earlier I said that we cannot screen high school students for STDs and so forth. So what we wanted to do is to screen freshmen as soon as they come in and determine whether we can find out what the positivity is among high school students. Just a little background about information about chlamydia. Again, as you heard, it's a bacterial infection. Some of the risk factors are young age, cervical ectopy, multiple sexual partners, unprotected sexual intercourse, having unprotected sexual intercourse, being single, having a previous infection, and a history of gonorrhea. So approximately 665 students were screened at the beginning of the fall of last year. The screen was advertised in dorms and in the campus newspapers, in the bathrooms and student centers. The screening was actually done at the student health centers or in the student dorms. All the students were screened for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and HIV. And in some cases, some students were able to get extra credit if they received, if they were screened for all these infections. We used the GenProbe Aptima Combo 2 tests. The students were allowed to give us a sample of the urine. And then these specimens were shipped to the public health lab, and the results were mailed to the student's center. The positive cases were notified and advised to receive treatment, and all the students received them azithromycin. And those who were positive, they were asked to notify their sexual partners, and if they were on campus, they would go to the student health center for treatment, or if not, they'd go to the health department. Here's a little some of the information demographics of the students. 55% of students were between 17 and 19. Freshmen were 36% were freshmen. 62% were females, and 79% were male. African Americans. Let's look at the positivity among all students. All students, there were 91 cases of chlamydia, And the chlamydia positivity was about 13.8%. As you can see, the 17 to 19-year-olds had the highest CT positivity of 17.2. And as you increase in age, you see the positivity decreases. Among freshmen, it was 17.3. Among females, it was 15.5. And African-Americans, 16.2. There were 14 cases of gonorrhea. And again, when you look at the 17 to 19-year-olds, it was about 2.8. Overall, the GC positivity was about 2.1. Freshmen had the highest chlamydia gonorrhea positivity. Males, females had 2.2, and among African Americans was 2.5. So when you look at the chlamydia positivity among students by student classification and gender, among freshmen, you see that females had the highest positivity, chlamydia positivity. And of course, in every category, every classification, females had the highest positivity except for juniors. When you look at chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity by age group, we see 17 to 19-year-olds had the highest prevalence or positivity of chlamydia, chlamydia more prevalent than gonorrhea. Among 20 to 24 years, the prevalence or the positivity was about 12%. When you look at risk, we see that African Americans have a high positivity of chlamydia and also gonorrhea. There's a big disparity. Then I looked at all the six schools. Now you see only five. One school, there were no reported cases of chlamydia, so we're looking at five. And I wanted to keep the schools anonymous, so I just labeled them E, N, H, L, or N, NL, and U, and W. If you look at N, the school N, very high positivity. So when I looked at the demographics and more information about this school N, we see there were 44 freshmen. And out of the 44 freshmen, 12 were positive. The chlamydia positive was about 27%. Females were about 30%, and African Americans was 27% for positivity, chlamydia positivity. So the results shows that 85 African Americans were infected versus five whites. Freshmen less than 20 years old were more likely to be infected than older students. African Americans were 3.5 times more likely to be infected than whites. A total of 14 African Americans had gonorrhea versus zero cases among whites. There were no cases of syphilis or HIV reported. When you look at the CT positivity, the chlamydia positivity among freshmen, it was much higher than the state average of 11.7%. But the GC positivity was much lower. So in conclusion, we see that there was a high chlamydia positivity among the students. The chlamydia positivity among freshmen was also high. Most of these positive students may have been infected during high school, since we began screening at the beginning of the semester. So we can conclude or assume that most of them were either infected during the summer before they entered college or during high school. The majority of the students were residents in North Carolina, and the racial health disparities continue to exist among students. There were some limitations. You cannot generalize these results to all the students because of the size of the sample. We didn't ask the question, were you in state or out of state? And that's something we need to do. We should have done last year. We didn't do it, but this year we're doing it. But we know that 81% of the freshmen were in state, and we didn't ask any information about risk behaviors. So implications for screening: the high positivity among freshmen suggests the need for routine STD screening among high school students in North Carolina. School-based health clinics need to provide reproductive health services to students. We need for more advocacy. And also the state legislature is planning to consider the bill again in terms of authorizing schools to teach comprehensive sex education in 2009, and hopefully that passes. And finally, we need to increase STD awareness campaigns. I want to thank the STD program for allowing us to do this study and to present it today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. James. I think you might as well stay up here, maybe all the speakers. can come, maybe the speakers for the last three talks can come up and we can open up questions for all of them. You can have, you can sit down and we can, yeah. Go ahead.
That's a great question. We're actually in the process of distributing the video clips to our high schools through their media production classes as a way of encouraging them to both have their students create new clips and also to educate those schools about STDs. It is one way that we are able to get into the schools with the clips. We're also providing the clips to our STD community intervention project partners.
Let me just add one comment. The question about financing. Through our collaboration with Family Planning, they had Title 10 monies that allowed us to have the DVDs produced. Also, to give the kids cash, the youth, cash awards for the first, second, and third, and honorable mention. So that was an incentive for participation.
Okay. There was a question in the back.
Yeah. Have you posted this with the students' consent posted on YouTube?
Repeat the.
With the students' consent, have we posted it on YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Is it on YouTube? Yeah. Part of the contest rules indicated to the students that it would be posted both on our MySpace and on YouTube, so they are posted there.
I think the person in the back has their hand up first. You?
Yeah, you're in the middle.
Okay. I have a question for Dr. Wayne, and you indicated that freshmen were the highest, being testing positive for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And do you know if they were contacted with the disease before freshmen, or was it because of their freshman year that they?
So the question was asked whether they were infected before they came to college?
Right. Because freshmen were the highest of getting the disease. So I was just curious whether they had the disease before, or was it because of freshmen's bedding that, that's how they become.
Right. Well, we didn't collect that information. Basically, it was just a screening. And we wanted to find out whether we were infected before. Now, again, they could be infected at the beginning of the semester, but most likely they were affected either in the summer or probably during high school. We don't know that information, unless we can go back and find when was the previous time they were screened for that, and we didn't have that information. But our assumption is that they were infected sometime before college.
And my second question is that you recommend that college should provide the state college should provide some kind of reproductive service.
The question is whether the schools we screened at to have reproductive health services. That I don't know, but I could find out and let you know. Yeah.
In the front.
So my question is a basic one. So STD testing is self-reported. So the schools that were used in the study. Do you know how aggressive this surveillance program was in the areas of the screening? So if it was self-reported, maybe a law enforcement had heard it before, or if you could imply it's a large number, could have had a disease, could you know how
right.
It
so the question is, since the data were based on self-report, do I know how rigorously they were screened, so if they would have even ever been diagnosed and told they had had an STD? No, I don't know that. I do know, we also had the urine samples, but that was on a subsample of the entire population. But no, it just asked. If the urine samples, I want to say it was roughly half of the 15,000. So it's still a large sample.
Gentlemen,
this is a question for Dr. James. In your presentation, you talked about the
in North Carolina, the median rate to be about 345 for every
100,000.
That's actually almost identical to the 348 cases per 100,000 in the MSSP condition. But I would naturally think if North Carolina has a legislation of abstinence-only education, I would have been naturally expecting probably a slightly higher STI rate. Is there any thoughts as to why it's almost identical, 355.6, I'm sorry, 345.6?
Yeah, the question is whether we can, why North Carolina has a much lower chlamydia rate than, because of the high, well, because of the abstinence program, we expect to see a much higher rate and so forth. I don't have a reason why that has occurred, but I think it's because of, probably if it's considered both men and women.
You want to give?
That was an overall rate.
Yeah. Everybody. So come on up and say how your data's different.
Oh, okay.
So 348 per 100,000 population is, those are reported cases nationally to the CDC of a very broad age group, not just adolescents.
So when you take that into account and you're probably assuming that other states don't follow the abstinence-only education program, or is it?
Well, that tells you that the reported chlamydia rate in North Carolina is similar to the overall national rate.
Right.
And that only a small proportion of those are adolescents. That can include people who are 30, 40, 50
right.
years old.
Right.
So you just don't have adolescents representing a large proportion of them.
Which would be much higher, if that's right.
The rate among adolescents is always higher.
Other questions? Okay, well, I want to thank all five speakers, six speakers. This was really fascinating. Obviously, we have a ways to go with STD in the United States. Thank you. You guys are